Let's take our Bibles this evening and turn with me, please, in the Old Testament to the book of Ezra, chapter 3. The book of the prophet and priest Ezra. We'll be looking in the third chapter. What a pleasure and privilege it is to be here tonight at the Fellowship Baptist Church in Clayton, North Carolina, for this camp meeting. And we're just grateful to God that He's allowed us to be in this place. As the last song that was sung by special, Mercy Walked In Through the Blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way I'm even here tonight. And I praise the Lord that He's put me in this meeting. And y'all just pray for me tonight. I am just scared to death. Amen. I feel like out of my league tonight. It's like the minor league going up to the major leagues. But you pray that the Lord will touch us tonight and that God will help us to be a blessing. Some of you are looking at me wondering, can this young buck preach? And I'm looking back at you wondering, can you handle it? Praise God. And so I hope and pray that the Lord will touch us tonight. And it's good to be in a place where we can have a spiritual oasis. I've been in some meetings where it wasn't an oasis, it was just straight in the desert. Can I get a witness on that? But I'm glad to be in a place where we can get refreshment and we can get some help. And it's only through the touch of God, it's only through His Holy Spirit, and that's the only way we can get some help. I'm reminded of a lady who attended a church service, and it was a desert. It was not an oasis at all. And I mean, nobody made a peep, nobody made a sound. It was just a dead, dull, dry service. And just out of nowhere, she just started shouting, praising God, getting excited. I'm talking about clapping her hands, having her hands in the air. And no doubt it made everybody nervous. I mean, the deacons had to get up and just said, ma'am, you got to calm down. We don't do that here. You're not even a member here. You're just a visitor. And she said, that's why I'm shouting. That's why I'm excited that I'm just a visitor here. And I'm glad that the praising the Lord and shouting is not forward in this place. I'm glad we can get together and go to meeting. And I'm glad that you're here, but let's go to meeting together and let's pray that God will show up and show out. I would be remiss if I didn't thank my family for being here tonight. I sat back there with them. My mom and dad is here. My grandmother's here. Thank you so much for being here. And my sister's here with my new baby niece. I appreciate her coming. And most importantly, I appreciate my wife being here tonight. She don't get a chance to travel with me much. And my two babies, thank the Lord for them being here. It's good to have my preacher, Brother Tim Raven, being here tonight, pastor of Beacon Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. And it's just an honor that he would even come out as busy as he is just to hear a preacher boy of his. But thank you, preacher, for coming. And no more introductions. We need to get into the message. Well, all I have to give you tonight is just an appetizer, because Brother Joe Alter is going to be here in just a moment. We just want to whet your appetite for the man of God to come. Let's stand, please, in reverence to reading the Word of God. Ezra chapter number 3. This is an historical book of the Bible. And some of you may be wondering, why in the world is history recorded in the Scriptures? Well, it's because history is His story. And there are things that are applicable and applicable to our lives here. And the background of the book of Ezra is that Israel had been in 70 years of captivity. But they have now, through divine intervention, been released. And through the unseen hand of God, He has guided a remnant back to their homeland, which is the Holy Land, Jerusalem. And as they come back here, they're not coming back to a land that has shopping malls all around. They're not coming back to a land that is well inhabited. They're not coming back to a land, church. For instance, let me give you an example. I'm born and raised here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I live in Murfreesboro, Tennessee now. And when I come back here, I call it home still. And when I came back home, I knew there was a house I was going to be in. I knew that there was places to go. But these children of Israel, they're coming back to a land that is uninhabited. They're coming back to a land that is not thriving and growing. They're coming back to a land that's in a reap of ruins, friends. I mean, they're coming back to a land that's uninhabited, uncultured, and uncivilized, uncultivated. And yet, the first thing that God tells them to do is not to till the ground. The first thing that God tells them to do is not build your own houses. The very first thing God tells them to do is to build the house of God. And so that's where we're at tonight here in chapter number 3. I want to start reading, please, in verse number 10. The Word of God says, "And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord, after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus, in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good. For his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chiefs of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice. And many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. May the Lord add his richest blessings for the reading of his precious word. All of God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. What we find in the story is that as soon as the foundation of the temple was laid, there was a timeout that was taken. And it was a timeout that was ordained by the king. They stopped construction. They stopped their working. They stopped their building. And what happens is we find that there's shouting that takes place. They take a recess of praise, friend, and just want to thank God for how far God has brought them to and how far God's going to continue to bring them. And they just get excited, and they just couldn't contain it anymore because the foundation was laid and they knew that God had more in store. And so they started shouting. They were excited. They were enthused. I believe that needs to be brought back into our churches tonight. Amen. As a matter of fact, that word enthused comes from two words. The first syllable, in, means I in. And then thews comes from theos, or God. Literally means in God. It's about time we get enthused again about being in God. Be excited about being God's people, friends. I mean, over and over it says they shouted, they sang, they praised with a loud shout, amen. You know what the loud shout means in Hebrew? A loud shout, praise God. They just shouted for the Lord. But the shouting soon turns to sobbing. For the Bible says there in verse number 12, but many of the priests and the Levites, the chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house, wept. I believe all of us can understand that there's a difference between tears of gladness and tears of grieving. I'm sure all of us have seen those cry over joyful things and happy things, but we've also seen people cry over grief and heartbreak. We've also seen people cry in hospitals and in funerals. And you and I both know there's a big difference, friend, between tears of gladness and tears of grief. And that's exactly what happens here. They're weeping, they're crying because they had seen the first house. They're thinking to themselves that, you know, the glory is not going to be like it once was. They're thinking to themselves that there is no hope and there is no help. And they're wondering how in the world this thing is even going to turn out. But what's amazing is in the midst of the shouting and then in the midst of the sobbing, they're still shouting. They're still shouting because the Bible says the last part of verse number 12, and many shouted aloud for, what's the last word there, church?
Joy.
Joy. I believe the Bible teaches us, no doubt, that we should not rebuke an elder. Can I get a witness on that? There's a reason why that they have gray hairs and there's wrinkles on the face, because that shows wisdom. And those of us that don't have those things, we better remember that we don't have that wisdom. And the God gave us two ears for a reason and only one mouth, so we would listen. And I don't believe that the young bucks here, this new generation that came along, I don't think they were trying to rebuke the ancient men. They wasn't trying to tell them to stop. But friend, they didn't let their sobbing stop their shouting. They still said there's still something to shout about. They said we're still excited. I know it may not be like it was in the old days. I know that you had seen the glory of Solomon's temple. But there's still something to get excited about. There's still a work that God wants to do. There's still something that God desires to do in this day and time. And friends, this tonight, for just the Lord's help, I just want to preach on that simple thought. There's still something to shout about. There is still something to shout about. Now, why in the world were these old men weeping? Why were the ancient men weeping? I believe they were weeping because of their heritage was gone. I mean, we're talking about the nation of Israel, friends. We're talking about a nation that was once the prominent power. We're talking about a nation that was the world's superpower. We're talking about a nation tonight that had God's hand and God's touch and God's blessings upon it. I'm talking about a nation that was fruitful. I'm talking about a nation where kings and queens from other nations would give obeisance and bow themselves down to. I'm talking about a nation that had the favor and the fame and the fortune of God upon it. But now look at it now. It's nothing but ashes. It's in a heap of ruins, friend. They come back and it's not the Mount Rushmore of kings ruling. It's not David and it's not Solomon and it's not Hezekiah and Josiah, but it's a man named Zerubbabel. Nobody's heard of this man. Kings aren't coming to praise this man. I mean, are y'all getting the picture tonight? Their heritage was not like it used to be, friends. And oh my, that reminds me of our nation tonight. It reminds me of our day and time. The Bible says that God will give us beauty for our ashes. But it's sad to say our nation has traded beauty for ashes tonight. Our nation, you're talking about the great Rushmore and Mount Rushmore of our presidents, Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, Abraham Lincoln and Theodore Roosevelt. Now look what we have in the White House tonight. I'm here to tell you, we've come a long ways, friend. I mean, we have traded God and we have traded His glory for greed and gluttony. We have traded the Scriptures for sin. We have traded the Master and the Messiah for the material things of this world. And you and I, as God's people, we look around saying that where is our heritage? Where has it gone? I mean, this nation, friend, right now at this present moment in 2014 is totally 180 from when I was born in 1983, friends. I mean, they were weeping because of their heritage. But oh, they were also weeping tonight because of the house of God. The Bible says with those that were there that saw the first house, they started weeping. You know what they were doing? They were looking at the young bucks working. And they were thinking to themselves, you know, they think they're doing a good work, but it's not going to be as good as it used to be. They were looking at this new temple trying to be built, and they thought to themselves that this is not going to be as grand and as great and as good as Solomon's temple. And friend, I believe you and I can say tonight that the house of God is not what it used to be. You might as well say amen or oh me, church. Hey, I know I'm a young man, but I've been raised in church. I thank God for the pastor I was raised under. Thank God for the heritage that I do have. But I've lived long enough to see the house of God change. I've lived long enough to see pastors just become puppets. I've lived long enough to see preachers just become entertainers. I've seen it long enough to see how instead of the church is pleasing unto the Savior, they're now trying to please society. Instead of pointing people to the Savior, they're now pointing people to their own self and their own self-esteem. I mean, friend, it used to be on Sundays that church was the center of attention. Now on Sundays, the church is the last thing on people's minds. I mean, friend, we've come a long ways, and just like these ancient men wept, you and I ought to weep tonight because the house of God has changed all over our land, friends. They were weeping because of the house of God. Oh my, it's sad to say that people, they don't want preaching anymore when they come to a church. They'd rather care about the programs. They'd rather care about the process. I mean, hey, some people, they don't need a pastor or a preacher. They need a coach. Amen. They need a musician. Come on now, y'all still with me tonight?
As a matter of fact, we are preaching today that it's not towards the spirit and it's not towards the soul, but it's toward the flesh, friend. The Bible says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come. And let me say, the time already has come, where they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Let me ask you a question tonight, church. What's your ear a part of? Is it a part of the spirit? Is it a part of the soul, or is it a part of your body? It's a part of your body. That's why we got to preach the word. Because the word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces even the dividing asunder of what? Soul and spirit. We got to have preaching today that's not about the facade of the outside. It's not about the external. It's not about rubbing your shoulders. Friend, it's about getting to the heart of the matter. It's about getting your soul fed and getting your lives changed. Friend, that's what it should be about. Amen, friends. I mean, there used to be a day and time where you announced a revival meeting at a church. And it didn't even matter what type of church they were. As long as you knew they preached the Bible, friend, people would show up. And God would show out. Right, does anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? I mean, revival meetings, God help us, we've had to shut them down to half of a week. I know Brother Percy Ray, I got his biography. He would refuse to preach a meeting unless it was 2 weeks long. The first whole week he would preach nothing on sin, wouldn't even give an invitation, and he would get people under conviction, and the Holy Ghost of God would be working. But oh my, the next week he would start preaching. The first night, on that Monday night, the floodgates were open. He would preach on the grace of God that would come down by the groves. Old J. Hill Smith, that great man of God, he was preaching at the Faith Baptist camp 1 year, and he told all the people in the front row, about 3 rows back, y'all got to move. Y'all need to move out. He said, we're going to need those 3 rows for the invitation time. My oh my, he would preach God's 3 deadlines. My oh my, many walked the aisle that night, filled up the 3 rows, and people were saved. Seems like the house of God's not what it used to be. But they were also in because of the horizon. They were wondering about their future. They were thinking to themselves, what is going to become of us? Can you see these ancient men as they're looking around? The ashes are still there. No doubt those that were taken in captivity can remember the spots of when soldiers killed their friends and their families. The spots where so-and-so's house was. The spot where the fruit was here and this farm was here. Oh my, they would come to the temple there. They would see it in heaping in ruins. They're thinking to themselves, it's not going to be like it used to be. And the reason they felt that way is because they had seen the best. That's right. They had seen the best. There was this new generation that came along, and they didn't see the best. This new generation, when they laid that foundation, praise God, they weren't weeping, they were shouting. Yeah. They were excited. That's it. They may not have seen all that their forefathers had seen, but you got to remember, friend, the only thing this new generation knew was slavery. The only thing they ever knew was captivity. The only thing they ever knew was starvation. The only thing they ever knew was death. The only thing they ever knew was that they were lost in a foreign country. The only thing they ever knew was they were strangers in a strange land. But now they were set free. And now they were marching on. And praise God, they're no longer slaves. They're no longer in the darkness. But they got life now. They got satisfaction now. They're getting excited now. They have a word. They have a purpose. They have the touch. They have the hand of God upon them. Everything has changed for them. And they just can't contain it. They've heard the stories of the past. And they're just glad that they're getting in on what God is doing in that day and time. I'm here to tell you tonight, church, there's still something to shout about. There's still something to be excited about. There's still something to shout about. There's still something to get excited over. I may not have been in the revival meetings of the past. I may not remember the good old days of America. Hey, friend, I know that Andy Griffith show is way off the scene. And you look at the television today, it's in carnality and a cesspool of sin. But I'm here to tell you, God is still working and God is still moving. There's still something to be excited about. There's still something to shout about. God is moving. God is working still in these days. I remember the book of Habakkuk, chapter number 3. Oh, praise God. He was depressed. He was discouraged. Things were difficult. And you know what he just had to do? He just had to rejoice when he didn't feel like it. As a matter of fact, you know what he said there? The last part of Habakkuk 3, he said, although, hallelujah, although the fig trees are not blossoming, although neither there's fruit that's going to be in the vines, the labor of the olive is going to fail. There's no meat in the field. There's no herd in the stalls. Things look pretty bad. Things look pretty bleak. Things look pretty burdensome. But praise God, he said, yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Oh, I know it's not like it used to be. I know we can say there's sin everywhere. I know we can give excuse after excuse. After excuse, but there's still something to shout about.
Amen.
Amen, friend. I doubt any one of us has ever suffered for the cause of Christ like the Apostle Paul has. My, oh my, in Acts chapter number 16, that dear man of God was preaching in that town, and a demon-possessed man came behind him. By the way, that demon-possessed man didn't try to scourge him, and he didn't try to hurt him. He was praising him. You better be careful about people that praise you all the time that may have a demon on them. Amen, friend. That's right, friends. And he cast the devil out. And instead of the people getting excited, instead of the people rejoicing, oh my, they took him to court. Listen to me, church. They rent their clothes off. The Bible says they were commanded to beat them. Then the Bible says they were scourged. They were thrown in the prison and said, you keep a watch on them. We're not just throwing them in the dungeon, Brother Wells. We're going to make sure they stay in that dungeon. No doubt they could have said, oh, nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody knows my sorrow. That's not the song they sang, praise God. The Bible says, and at midnight they prayed and sang praises unto God. And by the way, friend, they didn't mumble under their breath. The last part of that verse says that the prisoners heard them praise God. They were even saying, we still got something to shout about. And praise God, when they shouted, the first jailhouse rock took place. The angel came. The earth quaked. They were released. A sinner was saved. The sinner's family was saved. Got in the family of God. I'm glad to tell you, there's still something to shout about. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. We got something to be thankful for tonight. Hey, friend, I know where I'm at Temple Baptist Church. Can I just testify for a moment, Brother Ennis? Where I'm at Temple Baptist Church, we're not breaking any records tonight. I praise God that He's brought us so far. I've had the privilege of being there for 8 years. And oh my, I know our church is not what it should be. I know it could be a whole lot more. Friend, I know we might not be in the Philadelphia age. But friend, if I didn't believe God could move in this day and hour, I'm here to tell you I would resign tonight. I would just eat, drink, and sleep and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But oh my, I'm here to tell you, I may not have seen the glory of the past. I may not have seen the great days of the past. But praise God, I have seen some good days. I have seen God move. I have seen God work. I'm just glad He's letting me in on what He's doing in this day and time. Oh, hallelujah, there's still something to shout about. Oh, yes. Hey, I know we didn't have groves of people saved. We had one sinner saved yesterday. Amen. To God be the glory. Hey, I know back in days on Easter Sunday, they may have come down the groves for people to be saved, but praise God for the one that was saved yesterday there in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. As a matter of fact, he was an old bus kid. And that bus kid is 7 years old. And I'm going to tell you, I've heard of the maniac of Gadara. We have the maniac of Murfreesboro, and it was that little boy that comes to church. His name's Z. Think about that, Z. And he was so bad in class, Brother Rabin. He was so bad in the Sunday school class, the teacher just sent him outside and says, why in the world do you come? And this is what he said, just to get on your nerves. That's what that boy said. Something happened yesterday. As a matter of fact, the last couple of weeks, he had been asking about what it's being saved even mean. He didn't know John 3:16. You see, we're living in a generation, they don't know the B-I-B-L-E. They don't know Jonah was swallowed by a whale. Hey, we us preachers, we better get busy in our preaching, that we better start just preaching the basics again, and it never gets old. The touch of God will still be on it. You say it's simple. Well, I'm here to tell you, Israel ate manna for 40 years out there in the desert, and you know how they did it? Because it was fresh every single day. Hey, you can still preach the same good old book, because it's still fresh every time you're preaching, and it'll still help you, and it'll still give you what you need. Amen. And old Z came yesterday. And he was weeping and crying. And he called on God to save him. I've never seen him like that before. It reminded me of that Manekadera. He was sitting and he was in his right mind. Can I get a witness on that? I'm going to tell you, that's what Jesus does. That's what the Savior does. He's still saving sinners. He's still sitting on the throne. He still answers prayers. There is still something to shout about. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. You say, why did they shout, preacher? Let me give you these things and we'll be done. First of all, they shouted because they had a good foundation. Hallelujah. They had a good foundation, preacher. When they laid the foundation, they just said, we got to stop and praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth him that are his. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 11, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I'm glad I can tell you tonight that there's nobody like Jesus. There's nobody like salvation. You say, he hasn't blessed me in a while. Well, hey, friend, if you're saved, you're not going to hell. The only fire you'll ever feel is down deep in your soul of the Holy Spirit of God. That's enough to shout. If he never blesses me again, hallelujah, I'm still saved. I'm still going to heaven. My name's still written in the last book of life. There is still something to shout about, friend. Hallelujah. We have a good foundation tonight. Foundation that won't chip. Foundation that won't crack. Foundation that won't crumble. We have a foundation that won't sway. It won't shift. And it won't sink. But praise God, it's secure. It's strong. It's solid. It's safe. It's something you can stand on. It's something that will remain faithful. It's something that is forever. We have a good foundation tonight. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse number 20, that we have a foundation upon the apostles and the prophets. That's the foundation of the Word of God, friend. That's the foundation of the Scriptures. I'm glad I can tell you tonight, we have a Word that's never going to fail. The flower may fade, and it will. All those pretty flowers you're putting out, guess what? It's going to fade. It's going to dry up this winter. But praise God, during the winter time, you still have the Word of God. It's still going to be there for you. We have a sure foundation, a good foundation of the Scriptures. And I know that in churches like this, people say we can't come to a good church because there's things wrong with the church. I'm here to tell you there's things that are right with the church. This is the church of the living God. It is the pillar and the ground of the truth. I'm glad to tell you there's still things right with the church. The right doctrine, the right Savior, the right Lord and Master. Amen. We have a good foundation. Also, we are going forward. There's another reason we can shout. They just didn't see the foundation. They saw what else was going to come. And if the foundation was that good, how much better it was. Get the rest of it up. Fred, I'm glad to tell you that God is still building a church. Sinners are still being saved and lives are still being changed. It's not time for us to back down now. It's not time for us to throw in the towel. It's not time for us to wave the white flag of surrender. It's about time we say that we're going to stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, onward Christian soldiers, lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer lost. We're going forward this evening. Thirdly tonight, they had God's favor. Chapter 4, verse number 1, my time is almost gone. Chapter 4, verse number 1, the Bible says there that there were adversaries to rise up. Yeah. I'm here to tell you something tonight, church. When you try to do a work for God, the adversary will come. Right. And by the way, you study out who these adversaries were? They were close people to Israel. The Samaritans. Hey, friend. It may be somebody close to you that the devil can use to get on you. Hey, I know we've heard preaching about how God can use a person.
The devil can use a person too. Devil can use a person. My, oh my, they got discouraged. And they said, we're not going to build anymore. If you look in chapter 5, verse number 1, they hadn't built in a while. But guess what God brought their way? Two preachers.
Amen. How about that?
Oh, Haggai and Zechariah. Yeah. And you know what the Bible says in the last part of verse number 2? They came there to help them. Oh my, I'm here to tell you, these men of God that come, these preachers that stand in the pulpit, isn't it amazing when you come to the house of God and you're just wore out, you're discouraged, you're disheartened, you don't know if you're just going to make it. And praise God, you come to the church service, and guess what the preacher preaches on? Exactly what you need to hear. You get a word from heaven. You know what that is, friend? That's God sending the preacher your way. I'm here to tell you, let's keep on going for God. We still have something to shout about because we're on God's side. We have God's favor. Hey, we might be in the minority tonight as far as the crowd is concerned, but if God's on our side, we are overcomers, and have overcome them in the world. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We have God's favors tonight.
Amen.
Oh, are you listening to me tonight? Are you pleasing Him? Are you having the faith that you need? I'm afraid we're offending God the most in our society because we are not people of faith anymore. It doesn't say it's hard. It says it's impossible. We have God's favor tonight. That's something to shout about.
Amen.
Something to get excited about. Lastly, and I'm done. Turn to the book of Haggai for just a moment. I'm through. I'm finished. You know, I heard of a preacher one time that kept on preaching and preaching and preaching. Somebody asked, is he not done? Is he not through? Oh, yeah, he's done. He's through. He just won't quit, praise God. And I'm about to quit, okay? I'm about done and through. Quit. Haggai chapter number 2. The last thing I want to show you tonight is we still have something to shout about because we have a good foundation. We have God's favor. We're going forward. But last but not least, don't miss it. We have a glorious future.
Amen.
Say, preacher, the future is not looking good. Preacher, the future don't look that bright. Well, look in Haggai chapter number 2. That's the same thing they thought about this new temple. Look what Haggai had a message for them. They stopped building the temple because they wondered if they had enough money. They got more concerned about their own things. But look what the Bible says in chapter 2, verse number 8. The silver is, what's the word there, church? And the gold is, what's the word there, church? Saith the Lord of hosts. God has it all under control, friends. I'm glad that my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But look at verse number 9. These folks said, this temple is not going to be that good, but look at verse number 9. It says, the glory of this latter temple, of this latter house, shall be, what's the word there, church?
Greater
than of the former. You say, why do you think, preacher, this house, this latter house that was built was greater? You study out Solomon's temple tonight. It was great. It was grand. It was glorious. I mean, when Solomon prayed the benediction, the fire of God fell and filled the temple.
Yeah.
I mean, these folks had heard about it. They had seen the glory of Solomon's temple. God said, oh no, this next temple is going to be better. It's going to be the best.
Amen.
It's going to be better than anything ever was. And if you study it out, it was called Herod's temple. And Herod did deck it out even better than Solomon, but that's not why it was the glory.
That's right.
Because one day in Luke chapter number 2,
Amen.
There was an older priest there that was serving in the temple. And he had been promised by God that he was going to see the consolation of Israel.
That's right.
And all of a sudden here came in an 8-day-year-old boy. But oh my, it just wasn't any ordinary boy. It wasn't any ordinary son. It was the Son of God, friend. And you know what that priest said? He held up that baby and he blessed the Lord. And he said, oh God, let me just go on ahead and die, for mine eyes have seen my salvation. And you have prepared this before the face of all the people. And it's going to be a light to the Gentiles. And the glory, and the glory, and the glory of thy people Israel. Oh friend, the reason why the latter temple was greater is because Jesus himself
12 showed up in that temple. And hey, don't get weary, weary pilgrim. Jesus is about to show up. He's coming again, the rapture, the church. We have a glorious future. Don't look at the crowd. Don't look at the circumstances. Look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. We have a glorious future tonight, church. Hey, preacher, keep on preaching. Singer, keep on singing. Sunday school teacher, keep on serving. Bus worker, keep on knocking them doors. Keep running them buses. Keep passing out tracts. Keep doing the work of God. There is still something to shout about. Hallelujah. Because God is still doing a work. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the message of thy word. Thank you, God, how your word can speak. God, even though my voice is just one tone tonight, I'm only able to say one thing at a time. Your blessed Holy Spirit can take the words, put it in the hearts of all the people. God, I pray tonight for some weary preacher, for some weary saint of God. Oh, my, help them to see that things may not be what they used to be. But God, help them to see that you still want to bring revival. You still want to save sinners. And oh my, help us to see that it's just going to get better because Jesus will come. Help us to see that the darker of the day, the brighter the promises that Jesus is going to return. God, I pray tonight that people will receive help and get a blessing. Help us, God, to keep going forward. Keep on shouting for your honor and glory. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.